All right, Gary, what are we playing this week?
Well, Cole, as you can see, we've joined a 1980s style American fraternity.
Oh, problematic.
Super problematic, dude. Like this is the problematicest crew of bachelors.
Covenantastic, yeah.
Yeah. We're all squad now. The we're
I
all
am
sons of
become
squad
squad.
now. Yeah, I've become squad bringer of problematic. So these are our douchebags now.
Are they lovable douchebags?
Some of them are lovable. There's one that's like real arrogant, and there's no real reason why anyone would like him. There's the quiet religious guy who goes crazy. Here's the so the so what we're gonna we're about to do initiation, and we have these some other people with us who are also getting initiated. Say hey guys. These guys are also getting initiated at the same time, and this fraternity has a rule. There's one rule at Alpha Sigma Phi, and that's no virgins allowed. They don't care for those virgins. So we're in this 1980s sex comedy thing, and
Panty Raid Academy.
we've already done all the panty raiding, and we've already done all the kind of the hijinks and stuff to get our friends here laid.
Have we all like flagpole sat and stuffed ourselves into phone booths? No shit. I'm thinking of 1920s
We did all those
frats.
things,
Okay,
though.
yeah.
It was a busy week.
Okay.
It was a busy week. Most of it was a montage, though, so you probably don't remember it. But one of the things, this fraternity, they have a secret. The way that they determine who's going to be allowed, who's going as a virgin, is by bringing out a unicorn. Because, as you know, unicorns are attracted to virgins.
Oh yeah. Only a virgin can ride a unicorn.
So
Otherwise,
we're
it turns
all.
into a devil corn.
Yep, otherwise it
Quick, grow the
turns
second horn out of the side of
into
its
devil
head.
porn. Yeah, well, out of its back. It's actually extremely dark. So we're gonna ride this unicorn. We're gonna take turns, and we're gonna see if any of these problematic crew of recruits, these problematic initiates here that we'll always remember, like these friends we've made over the last week, see if any of them pass the test. You have to excuse that noise that's in the background. I'm gonna wait until after the sketch to put that away. I got pocket a toy, but that can wait for once we've graduated college. I can talk to you
We can
about
put away childish cat things. We can put
that.
away kittenish things.
Once we are ready to get our bachelor's degrees.
Okay, so should Goober, Stinky, or Stinky 2 ride?
Stinky two, get on up there, buddy.
All right.
We spend a lot of Leisure Suit Larry-esque hijinks trying to get you laid, and we don't
Yep.
know if it happened.
Oh shit. Yeah, no, he's skewered.
Stinky.
Stinky. Oh well, good for him.
Yeah, man. Well, yeah, I'm glad Stinky stayed to his values, and we'll get Stinky to Hospital U across the way. We'll get him to some med students to beer bong out his intestines and then do some suture falls.
But hey, Stinky 2 got some.
Yeah, Stinky too got some. So good on you. It was all worth it. So let's hold on a minute. Before we even put Stinky One on, this unicorn is changing.
What?
Like it's grown that horn out of its back that's covered with stinky blood,
Okay, Stinky
and
Two
its
blood.
eyes are. This is some kind of dark unicorn.
What? Oh, the game computer. Oh, it's acting
Oh
up.
no, it's beeping up from the parrot. Like it's the 80s version, so it's a big dot matrix. You have to go to the room that it's held in.
It says yes, that is a video game for PlayStation 2, Chapter 1.
After one, let's go do that instead of joining this problematic group of bachelors who call themselves the squad. And mostly because I don't want to sit on that unicorn after what happened to
No.
Stinky.
Go get your cat under control.
While it's going on, while that's before we start the episode, while that we have a patina of that background noise, I want everyone to know that I signed myself up for this. Like I was looking for something to occupy a pocket when I wasn't home because I feel bad. I go out, and I also don't have the budget for play that he has in terms of energy. So I got him this like wooden torture box.
I've
It's
seen
got
this. I don't know what's going on. Does it just like, are there holes in the side and it makes noise?
There are holes in the side that are smaller than these kind of like balls that are inside, these wooden balls. And he's trying to get them out. But he can't because the balls are too big.
Okay.
So he's reaching both of his hands in. He looks like Homer when he puts his hands in the nuclear.
And into the Waldos, yeah.
Into the Waldos. but trying to get these balls out and can't. And that's what he does now. Like, this is his new thing. He absolutely loves it.
Obsession.
Like, he loves it. Yeah. If I put it up, so I had to put it up when I'm sleeping for obvious reasons.
Right.
Because it sounds like people are playing, like, it's not even pool. It's like people are playing fucking snooker or some shit.
It sounds like people are playing a game of Labyrinth that they will never win.
Yes. Yeah. Like giant Labyrinth.
Yes.
So it just sounds like that all the time. So I obviously had to put it up, and then he's fine for that at night, but then he wakes up and he literally like runs back and forth and like tries to scale the wall.
Okay.
To get up to it. Like, he's like climbing the walls. Like, he fucking loves this shit.
Nice. Yeah.
Or hates. I don't know if he loves it. If he's well, just obsessed,
I mean,
with it.
The opposite of love is not hate, Gary.
Like, Ahab didn't love the white whale, you know.
but Ahab couldn't have existed without the white whale.
Oh, that's somebody's read the book. I don't know how he feels about it. But regardless of which, it makes a lot of real like psyop style noises to me. Like, it feels like I'm having a, you know, a mind game played on me as I'm like laying in bed.
Yeah.
You know, I forget that I put it away and I'm like drifting off, and then just like loud random crashing noises.
An aura beast has passed through you.
That's what it sounds like. So yeah. You can put in the music here. You can do whatever you want. I'm going to go put away this toy.
Okay.
This is Gary Butterfield.
This is Cole Ross.
And this is Abject Suffering. Missing the Griddler. Needs the Griddler.
Necessitas Griddleros.
Yeah.
Necessitas Griddleros.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this week we are playing Prism, Chapter 1, The Dark Unicorn, the hubristically titled PS2 game. Made by DICE, I believe. So.
Yeah.
Fun. This was a patron demand by Gwen. Thank you, Gwen.
Hey, Gwen.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And it was also a long time ago suggested by Brett. So
thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks to all involved.
Shit. I'm just now realizing by looking at this entry on the our little suggestion database, apparently there's a Prism DC comic inside the case.
Oh.
Yeah.
Shit.
So good luck finding anything about this game online, which makes this just episode kind of a little bit difficult.
Yeah, in general. I just went to go type in Prism comic into Google, but just like my lizard brain took over and I typed in Griddler comic.
Like, you're making that up. That's a lie.
No,
that's a lie.
No,
you just told everybody.
I'm looking at the no joke. Like, I'm looking at the things. Like, did you mean Riddler comic?
Uh-huh.
Amazon, Cuisinart, Griddler dials. Like, there's no comics involved. But yeah, we were just talking about it. So
yeah.
I did not look at the comic. I probably should have, though.
Yeah.
Amazon.com, Prism number one in very fine condition.
How much is it?
This looks like this is $4.99 plus $3.99 shipping, and there's only one left in stock.
There's only one left in the world.
Yeah. it's $8.
In the fucking Raiders of the Lost Ark archives, that is the GameStop warehouse. Yeah.
In the drawing on the comic, they draw the unicorns as realistic. Like, it looks like a realistic horse.
Okay.
Like a horse face and stuff, and it's really a weird choice. Like,
yeah, especially given how they look in the games.
Yeah, there's like no cartoonishness, no facial expression. It's just a horse with a horn, and then this little like terrible goblin.
Yeah,
it's back.
Yeah. So this is something, although according to the internet, it is nothing.
Yeah, it doesn't have a Wikipedia.
No,
but that's a low level thing for non indie game, like a commercially released.
Yeah, I usually associate that with like post 2002 PS1 shovelware.
Yeah,
that's no. usually what doesn't get a Wikipedia page. There is a Moby Games page for it, and you can look and see. Apparently this was like the specific team that made this. This was like their one shot at making a non-licensed thing. And yeah, they they pooched it.
This was it's not quite a PS1 shovelware thing, but it was a budget game.
Yeah.
Which I didn't realize, like it was 20 bucks.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't know. Is this better or worse than like the Martian Chronicles or whatever?
I don't know. I never played that.
Yeah. It just, you know, for those like PS1, PS2, like super budget games, it's no Katamari Damacy, right, which was also 20 bucks. But it's like, there's a weird like amount of production value that's in this. Like, I don't think this is good at all. Like, I hated this, but there is, it's not the worst thing we've ever played. Like, it's not bereft of care.
Right.
I guess.
It is not bereft of care, but it also is 100% devoid of appeal, which is, which is kind of a fun fence to get crotch shotted on, you know?
Yeah.
To straddle and all that. Yeah, no, this is hideously ugly, like kind of generic fantasy pablum where what if a unicorn teamed up with a troll to fight a zombie plague.
It starts off with that, like the High Council or whatever, right, the High Council of Forces, like discussing it and stuff. And it really is. It does feel like it really comes out of the gate with that stuff. Even and the troll is very. This is very much an elf dwarf relationship. Like, I kept expecting, you know, like, I like me ale, but I don't like me elves. You know, that kind of thing to pop up. The one thing I will say for it though is I'm kind of surprised how disgusting and unpleasant they made this troll. Like, he's really gross and really just mean. Like, he's like those old men that are just like, my life is pain. Life is shit. Yep. You know, get off my fucking lawn and I'm not giving your Frisbee back. Like, I'm going to melt it down into smaller Frisbees and throw them into my toilet.
Just, you know, like throwing a half full whiskey bottle at a census worker.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or like a 7-year-old. Right. You know, just like, it's weird kids in the hall. Bruce McCall fan character that this troll plays. And the entire game, like, I would say by volume when you play it, you have that cutscene. But as far as what you hear, 90% by volume are these two characters complaining about their aching backs.
Yep.
Like, hey, kids.
What is relatable?
Yeah, he has this little bark about like, I'm getting sore from riding you. Well, you should feel my back. And they do that over and over. Uh-huh. And I'm like, the solution is easy. Stop riding.
Yeah.
Like, they early on, the council warns you that you should ride because you'll have to keep up and stuff. But I'm stopping and, like, fighting monsters. Like, you could get off.
Yeah, make this a co-op game, Dice.
Yeah, exactly.
Slap $5 onto the total of this. Yeah.
Yeah, or just, you know, just for my immersion's sake.
Mm-hmm.
Take a break at this point. Right. Like, this is mostly an old man complaining about, like, having his fucking grundle rubbed by a horse. And, like, no saddling a horse doesn't feel good. Like over a long period of time.
You say that with authority. It's weird.
When I was like younger, we talked about horses many a time.
Yeah, I suppose.
And like during those days when I was around horses more.
Yeah.
You know, and rode one a few times without a saddle. And it's like, it's doable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like your legs fit, but it is just kind of that weird, the section in your grundle, like that is just like if it feels like under the skin, it's just like a chamois. Like it's just a series of tubes.
Yeah, it's your walnut.
Yeah. Yeah, that whole area is just like lots of tubes and weird nerves.
Uh huh.
That's going on in there. Mm-hmm. And like that just constantly being rubbed by like a gigantic muscular vertebrae. Like just one vertebrae, just like really grinding like a mortar and pestle into your grundle. Like if you put the nutmeg like on taped it to your grundle, like you would have a delicious nutmeg snack like by the end.
Yeah. No, it's kind of like if you were upside down, it would be the world's strongest drinky bird, just kind of straight up just punishing your taint. Yeah,
just over and over every step.
Yeah,
like I never galloped on a horse doing this stuff, which I imagine would be really wrong. Just walking every step though, that vertebrae shifts a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And just kind of grinds it in, you know,
because it's a meat car.
So it's a meat car, and I just have a lot of internal tubes going on there is what it seems like. From what I can tell from the outside, it's just like a whole lot of tubes. And those
feels like tubes.
Seems like tubes. I assume most of what's in me is tubes,
right?
And just like them getting tangled and knotted, and like it's essentially being like a cat's ball of yarn at the end.
Yeah,
you know, it's being very sore.
Yeah, no, I've never ridden a horse bareback, but you know, then again, I'm just a city boy.
Just a city boy. Just a small town girl. The guy who did on Moby Games, the guy who did the concept for this, which I love how that's separate from the writer or anything like that.
Yep.
His entire career is this kind of stuff.
Yes.
Like his, all of the concepts and stuff that he made, all the production is like Dinotopia, the Sunstone Odyssey, to Shrek Treasure Hunt, to Casper Spirit Dimensions, to the Land Before Time, Return to the Great Valley.
I love this. Under the business credits, he was president of Elf the movie in 2004.
I'd love to be president of movies.
Hello. Hello. I am the viceroy of film.
He's also aka Vinny something. And I can't think of a Vinny that isn't like a 80s movie villain.
Yeah.
Well, I guess there's the cousin Vinny.
Yeah.
But...
the cousin Vinny,
the cousin Vinny, the cousin Dark Souls title screen. Vincent, the cousin.
But how long does it take you to make grits?
he produced No Rules Get Fat.
Oh, fun!
Yeah, oh, yeah.
There's a handful of there's a handful of things on here. I feel like one of these is the Casper game that we played. Aquaman Battle for Atlantis. We never strictly covered it because it didn't really work, but he was on that. Yeah, this guy's a little bit of a zealot.
He's a real abject suffering like gold mine here. We gotta do this Muppets on with a show game.
Ooh.
I bet you the Muppet like minigame collection for GBA.
For the Game Boy event, yeah. It's been a while since we talked about a Muppet.
Yeah, I just don't know what's going on with the Muppets, aka Muppets Bune Free and Chalman.
So the story of this is weird. So I don't know. This is 2019, Cole. But when it opens up and says each race has their own land and their own country,
yeah,
it's kind of like, oh God, this is that's gross. But then I thought under that rubric. Cole, but maybe pump the brakes. Is Candyland a fascist nationalist? Is Candyland white nationalist, Gary?
Only the white chocolate.
Okay.
Yeah, any race that is founded on carob is probably a little nationalist.
Right.
I've been struggling with that a little bit too, just in terms of like fantasy media,
right?
And whether it's okay to like have personality traits ascribed to races, like we've talked about that before. Mm-hmm. And it's like, you know, if that's not okay, you're throwing out a lot of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's more like the kind of thing that we should just let quietly become unfashionable, as opposed to like start a war against Lord of the Rings.
Right. Yeah. Not necessarily. You know? Not necessarily. I think a fight that's worth picking. Well, against old stuff that already exists. We should probably, if somebody's coming out today making super boring fantasy that is premised on a land for each race.
But is that like if somebody comes out with something that has elves and dwarves, like I still don't really want to have that fight because they decided to have elves and dwarves.
No, I don't want to have that fight either.
You know, I think that like the trick is if you're out there and you're listening to this and you're designing a tabletop game, you just make race a cosmetic choice and then you have backgrounds that determine all the stuff that you would put in race.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, oh, instead of you just have like backgrounds or jobs or whatever and just tie all those stat bonuses and flavor into those things.
Yeah. Weirdly, Dragon Age Origins did a kind of okay job at that.
Races definitely had distinct personality traits though based on their race, though.
But at least in terms of the characters you could play as, your background seemed to have or your origin seemed to have more of an impact.
You were a city elf or what have you. There's just like I it's one of those things where like there's that broad gulf of things that you know that there's something like, boy, this is gonna look silly in the future maybe. You know, but it's so entrenched and I just don't want to fight it. Like I can imagine people fighting it,
yeah,
and people just, you know, but I just I can't I can't bring myself to fight that yet.
Yeah.
You know, that might be a war after my time.
Yeah. Yeah. Or might be a function of, I don't know. I felt that feeling like rise up, like when they describe that in that really like young storybook kind of voice. And, you know, I tried to push it down because like, well, don't be a fucking parody of yourself.
Yeah.
But like, it was a bizarre dissonance.
Yeah, it's good to be sensitive about stuff in general. Like, there's not a, I don't think there's really a too sensitive. That's not, when people say too sensitive, they mean something different.
Right.
You know, and that's a crude way of putting it. Like, what you're not saying too sensitive, like, you shouldn't notice things. You're saying a combination of, like, maybe there are bigger fish to fry.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe the context and perspective that this came from matters and things like that.
Yeah.
Because no one's doing that in a hateful way.
No.
And if they are, like I bet you, you know, I haven't seen anything that is hateful about that in quite a while, where it's like, you know, I don't know what the equivalent would be. Like, oh, the deep dwarves like listen to rhyming music where they listen to a beat bang on rocks.
Or none of them know how to sing.
None of them know how to sing. And dwarf on dwarf crime is what we should really be talking about. Like,
right.
Things like that. It's more just Tolkienian, like,
yeah.
You know, different lands, kind of thing.
Yeah. But everything here is so fucking grotesque. Like, I went around to a couple of the worlds, and, you know, the play in this is really, really boring, despite the fact that it was a little bit more complex than I expected it to be.
I actually like that it's boring because I was expecting it to be a nightmare, like doing a platformer where you're on a horse, right? Like, I was like, oh, this is not going to control well, like horse platformer, but it kind of works. Like, you know, it feels like controlling a horse in a good game where you get like a horse, you know, like it feels like good horse control.
Yeah. Good horse.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but it does limit the kind of things you can do.
Yeah. Weirdly, what this felt like was a fantasy twisted metal game.
Sure. Yeah. It definitely feels like a vehicle.
Yeah. Well, especially because most of the stages involve you kind of riding around. Like, it's like arenas that you're moving in between. You've got enemies that have different, like different attacks and different ranges. You control, you're kind of controlling the unicorn and the troll separately. You know, just because they have different attacks, and your right analog stick controls like a melee. Like, there's the basis there for something that's good, but not this.
Yeah, I was never going to be into this. Like, the best this could hope for is to be like Spyro or something.
Yeah.
You know, as far as like a big Spyro.
The Spyro ceiling.
Yeah, the Spyro ceiling. And that's never quite good enough. Like, those games are fine.
Yeah.
But it's not going to be something I'm going to seek, you know? So,
yeah.
And it does look ugly. Like, the initial cutscene looks like of its time, kind of, to me. And then once you actually get the enemies, it's like just like the color choices and enemy types and stuff like that. Everything is pretty gross looking.
Yeah. Like the dominant color palette in this is dark brown and dark purple, which is never good. Yeah.
Very weird.
Yeah. The developer, at least one of the developers of this, let me see here. It got so many different names, also known as Sandbox Studios, but Digital Illusions Canada, one of their first games that's on Mobi Games is called Lawyer Hunt.
Ooh. Well.
A hunting game extremely similar to Deer Hunter. Hey, it is by the same company, in which instead of hunting deer, you hunt swindling lawyers, hence the name.
I was thinking about some of that stuff with lawyers. Recently,
we got a lot of lawyers who are characters in the national narrative right now.
Yeah, I was thinking about it in terms of like as a kid, I always knew lawyers were bad.
Right.
Just from the jokes and stuff like that. I don't think I met a lawyer until I was 32 or so, and didn't interact with a lawyer until I did jury duty.
Oh, yeah.
So I had nothing to base that on. It was just the fact that there are jokes, and the fact that it isn't like the public, like the Simpsons and stuff are making jokes about how shitty lawyers are.
Yeah.
Like, who are these people who deal with lawyers that frequently?
I really don't know.
You know, like, it's such a weird, like, just accepted thing, but I go through my whole life, like, pretty agnostic to lawyers.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, and like a lot of the lawyer, like, you know, family friends who were lawyers or who were in law, they primarily just did like education and discrimination law. like, yeah, kind of laudable public good stuff, which just gets down to, like, when people are joking about, like, are they talking about your Lionel Hutz's and your Saul Goodman's, like, just ambulance chasing defense lawyers? Because that's, like, not that many, like, that doesn't count for much of lawyerdom.
Well, and how often do you see those lawyers?
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, so like, you know, like in the news, when somebody who absolutely is guilty and they should get that share and they get off on a technicality.
Yeah, I'm not saying that lawyers like exclusively do good.
Right.
It's more just like they're capable of good.
Mm-hmm.
And being a socially accepted hate object feels undeserved.
Also,
isn't it landlords? Like, why isn't that landlord hunter? And this is 2019 Gary speaking, but seriously, sincerely, like,
yeah.
As far as things that is more relatable to an audience, especially the audience of something, you know, I keep filtering things to The Simpsons because that was the thing that straddled kind of kid and adult humor.
Mm-hmm.
When I was young, like the people watching this, the people this is aimed at, the kind of socioeconomics and stuff, much more likely to want to like break a lawyer's back over their knee than or a landlord than a lawyer.
Right. Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Like just landlords instead of lawyers. What's it? What do you call 1,000 landlords at the bottom of the sea? Good start. Done and done. You know, fuck the landlord.
Yeah.
You know, or like, you know, and then obviously like I don't want to say like CEOs because I'm like guillotine Gary 2019. But
right.
If not CEOs, like at least landlords.
Right.
You know, somebody who just makes money from the fact that I have to exist.
Right. Right.
You know, I made an investment back in the past, so I'm just entitled to a certain monthly income for the rest of my life. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I took on the risk. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, OK. You hero. You know, oh, I sometimes have to change a light bulb. Yeah. Fuck you.
Yeah. Oh man, it's so weird. There are no screenshots, no details, no anything to make me believe that this game Lawyer Hunt exists.
Yeah, well, that's a poison search thing.
Oh no,
you don't want to search that. Did you in the games you may also like on GameFAQs? They've got Shadow of the Colossus, Metal Gear 2, Metal Gear 3, and Okami. And it's like, well, yeah, I may also like those. Good guess.
This is a bad game. Let's just suggest some broadly accepted as good games.
You probably do like those. But they also have Masters of the Universe, He-Man, Defender of Grayskull. We got to like do that at some point for the show.
Yeah. Although my background on He-Man is not as strong as yours.
You got to learn about He-Man. I just knowing what you might learn about He-Man from this PS2 game. Like, it's very interesting.
Learn about He-Man sometime.
Yeah, you gotta figure out about the He-Man.
Yeah.
You'll learn about the He-Man. You know? Even the name He-Man is very funny to me.
Uh-huh.
Like, just like he, you know, the one of the pronouns, man, the other one.
I mean, you know? It like He-Man is a name, but it's also kind of a sentence.
Yeah. Like Tyler Perry's He-Man. Question mark. You know, like it is it definitely it's there's a lot of stuff going on with He-Man.
a lot of action happening here.
And there's like a fun I mean, maybe, you know, if you don't have the background, this might not work out. But once you've gone to He-Man U or whatever, I think it would be similarly fun to go through He-Man's like ally and rogues gallery.
Ooh.
Because there's a lot of low cards in that deck, man. Like,
we should probably save this. I am aware of a lot of those because of the toys. We had the like we had the toys, but they were my brother's toys. Okay. They were not my toys.
Okay. The so you're at least aware of at least a couple of these guys.
Yeah,
yeah. With something like Mechaneck. And like Mechaneck just demands commentary. And you know Mechaneck?
Mechaneck must be addressed.
It's when you twist his waist, his head goes up like a periscope. That's it. He's got all this robot. It's like this very long robot neck. But he's the same like super buff, dumb body that they all have.
Yeah.
But he can just go whoop, and look over a ridge. And that's exclusively his power.
Yeah.
So.
This developer also did a game called Diva Stars Mall Mania, which appears to be Bratz before Bratz.
Ooh, well, that's what they say, Bratz before Bratz. It's like Rose before Hose, but it's confusing.
Yeah. Oh, no, so on the...
You get a brat in a logical inconsistency and make the like blood come out of the brat's ears. The brat before Bratz.
They don't have ears. All they have is eyes and mouths.
It's fucking weird. Junji Ito's Bratz.
Oh, my God. Let's kickstart that.
I would watch this.
If we start the Kickstarter for Junji Ito's Bratz, does he have to do it?
If you had a Bratz skull, it would be like a salad bowl. Like, you know how the skull is usually a goblet? Like, people usually are seen drinking out of skulls.
Which seemed really extremely impractical to me, because there's literally a thing at the bottom of your skull called in Latin it is the big hole. It is like the magnum.
But you'd have to put like a bowl inside the skull, and at that point you just drink out of the bowl.
Right.
You're doing it for effect. But if you're doing that with a brat skull, those eye cavities are so big, it would be like a salad bowl for two. Like, you would just like sidle up the brat skull, fill each eye socket with salad,
mm-hmm.
and then sit across from your friend and enjoy salad together out of the brat skull.
Yeah.
You know?
I bet you with enough epoxy, you can make a rip roar and bong out of a brat skull.
Oh, yeah. Like a big multi-person, like,
yeah, party. Like a gravity bong.
My one of my friends had a gigantic bong that had like, it was like one of those huge mega bongs, like those art bongs.
Yeah.
And had four like hookah hoses, and he kept calling it the four hosemen of the apocalypse.
Okay, that's pretty good. I like that.
We do this like mega bong, but that's my art bong. Experience.
I've only smoked from a bong a couple of times, and every time
I don't like it.
No,
like,
no. So the
thing, like smoking anything,
the thing, you know, I mean, people say like, oh, this is going to make it easier on your lungs, because you know, if you're, God, I fucking hate smoking pot.
Yeah, just well, the water is supposed to make the smoke
cooler,
Cooler. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. But it is still caustic. It makes me cough until my eyes start watering.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, like I hate it because you cannot see the water level, but it is imperative that you know where the water level it is at every single second of operation.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and if you spill it, like, that carpet's gone. Yeah. Like, it's gonna smell terrible. And then the other thing about bongs that is one of my favorite, like, / least favorite experiences that I have had, like, a lot, because I hung out a lot of people smoke pot, is going to a place that sells them and having people just act like they're being presented with fucking Da Vinci. and this goes for any glassware.
Right.
But people were just like, oh my God, that's fucking beautiful. And like, it's like, it's just some tie-dye piece of shit. Like, it's a little lump of glass that has a couple swirls in it, and you were acting like your mind is blown. Yeah, like, glass blowing, you idiots.
It's like when you were a little kid and for some reason you played marbles because that was a thing kids did.
Yeah.
You say, oh, this slammer's this so is good.
Gorgeous. Yeah. Like, look at these swirling colors.
A cat's eye.
This is gorgeous. Like, I've seen people like pick up a pipe and be like, oh my fucking God, this is beautiful.
Yeah.
And then like you look at it and it's like, oh, okay, it's purple with blue swirls. I see. You know, like, you realize this is just like floats. Like, you're marveling over beach town folk art.
You're right.
The equivalent of beach.
So the mall in my town where I grew up, and also now a couple towns over from where I live, it's, you know, going downhill like a lot of malls in America. And one of the ways you can tell is it went through a period where there were a lot of missing teeth in the mall. There was a lot of stores that were just closed. There's a little bit of a resurgence, but most of those closed stores are coming back as either vape shops or as just barely described head shops.
Yeah. we get a lot of those around here too.
Yeah. So you walk in and they got a lot of glass cases, and I'm there with my brother and we're looking, goofing about the statuary and stuff like that. And I goofed at Chris saying, I wonder where they keep the butterfly knives. And the person behind the counter who spoke very poor English says, butterfly knives here. he whipped out this tray of butterfly knives.
Somebody said the magic word.
Yeah,
that's very good. Yeah. This knife is beautiful, man. Look at this handle.
Ooh, the lattice work,
beautiful.
The fluting, it's
got handles on it.
imagine the tricks I could do with this.
It's not even a practical thing,
right?
Like, it is a really weird deer in headlights thing for a certain type of donor. Yeah. I don't know if there probably are knife guys like that too, though.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like, I watched that Epicurious thing where the guy was comparing knives, and they had some weird, Japanese knife made out of meteorite or some shit. And it's like a $10,000 knife that you pass down for generations. Mm-hmm. And he was speechless about it. And I was like, okay, I guess No, I can't actually imagine. I can't actually imagine having that reaction to an object like ever.
There's a YouTube like subgenre. Most of the videos are in Japanese, but there's no voiceover. But it is like knife restoration and like knife fabrication. Okay. So like it starts off, you know, just like General Blade. So like, oh, that axe head is completely General Blade is here.
Daywalker's
General Blade demands tribute. Like, no, but you're just like, oh, that axe head is mostly rusted through. There's no way they'll get anything out of this. And through a comedy, like, over the course of like 25 minutes of time lapse, you see how they restore this axe head being, you know, completely shiny. And also, you know, like a Japanese guy making a blade sharp enough to cut a slice of hair the long way out of like just like resin and carbon fiber and just sharpening it over and over again. Like that is really good. I'm falling asleep kind of stuff.
Yeah, I could see it being satisfying and I could be like, this is neat.
Yeah.
Super neat. But just being like literally bowled over by an object.
Being dumbstruck by the beauty of this.
Literally
blade.
Like a deer in headlights, and especially not a bong.
Right.
You know, like I'm trying to imagine but even a knife or even like the thing I care the most about. Like I don't think I'm gonna get, you know.
And how much of that is just us being unable to feel awe or wonder?
I don't think so. I've thought about that too. I don't think the problem is us. I don't think it's being cynical. I think it's being like right sized about
about
things
objects.
That ultimately don't matter that much. Yeah. You know, like I think about like I guess like the closest thing to me would be like a really cool like old synthesizer maybe.
Uh-huh.
You know, and being in the presence I would be like, oh, that like that looks great. That's super cool. I'd love to play that a little bit. But I could never imagine like walking in and like dropping my drink. You know, Jupiter's like, you know, somebody put that in a museum.
being like Wayne in front of the white Stratocaster.
Exactly. Yeah. Would never do so.
Yeah.
Like I'm worthy of everything. See it? Like I don't get to have it, but see, I get like the idea that I'm not worthy to see something is pretty self-defeating, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. Wait, like maybe I would feel that way in the presence of like a really, really cool like ancient manuscript or something. But that would be more fear of something priceless. Like me sneezing on it or like, oh, I spilled my big gulp on the Necronomicon. No.
Yeah. I would back off from such a thing. Yeah. Like I would maybe not like I don't even really like holding babies. You know,
babies are replaceable.
Basic thing, right? Fine. Like yeah, like it's very like, you know, this I could definitely sneeze and then that would be it.
Yeah, yeah. It's got a soft spot on its head, yeah.
Just very, very scary. Like fontanelles are just a cruel joke.
Too much.
I don't know. Too much. I just, it's okay for me to look at stuff. Maybe, I don't know if it's me being incapable of awe and wonder. I think it is just kind of like almost like, I mean, this is too grand of a word, but almost like a perverse sort of worldliness that comes with being like high amounts of exposure to things. Like it used to be like, you'd go like, you know, like, oh, here's a pig in a jar. Like I'm going to charge 2 bits a gander.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but now I can just Google pig in a jar whenever I want.
I mean, is it just like being not worldliness, but like desensitization or something like that? Like,
yeah. Something. I don't think that it's negative.
Right.
I don't think that, like, I don't know what the word would be, but it doesn't feel like it's like, kids these days. Like, I think it's just, you know, a product of taking in more and having like a richer, fuller experience, you know, in life.
Yeah. I don't know. We're coming up on time, Gary.
Yeah. It's about time to go.
Yeah.
Thank you, Gwen.
Thank you. I had forgotten that this game existed. It was always on the shelf when I worked at the game store. Nobody ever bought a copy. I never saw anybody trade it in, but sometimes it would just multiply. There are two now. There are three.
Yeah. Unicorn eggs.
Yeah.
We appreciate it. If you want to demand a game, the way you do that is through being a patron.
Mm-hmm.
Patreon.com/DuckFeedTV.
Yeah.
And hit us up.
Yeah, and you get so much more by going there. You get a lot of shows. You get the return of Bonfireside Chat. You get bonus episodes of this show. You get Unfilmable, our program about screen adaptations of Lovecraft works.
Mm-hmm.
That's all good stuff. I really recommend if you're just kind of casually listening. I think you get a lot out of it.
I think so, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Check it and see.
Yeah.
Until next time. who is, if we're using Need Griddler, Missing Griddler,
star, the opener. Yeah. Yeah.
Until next time, we will fucking shoot you.
Who is Chapter 2 Dog?
Chapter 2 Dog is better.